The start order is 1-7-4-2-3-9-8-5.
The Extra Lap RC Podcast.
Yes, this is the Extra Lap RC Podcast. My name's Aidan Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Martin Owen. How you doing, Martin?
Very well, yourself?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. You know, I kind of went outdoors this weekend.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, it was brilliant, mate. We'll chat about the amount of work that Paul Crompton says he did but didn't do later. Martin, who are we going to speak to today?
So we have the organiser of what I hear was one of the greatest rear motor meetings ever at Robin Hood this weekend, Rob Fox.
Hi, Rob. How you doing?
Hiya, guys. How you doing?
I'm good. Fine, but you heard it was the greatest rear motor meeting ever, Martin?
I did, yeah.
But who from? Tell us more.
Well, Freddie Russell tells me it was one of the best meetings ever. He really enjoyed himself.
Wow, Rob.
From a man who refuses to run vintage cars.
He's like one of the biggest suppliers of vintage bits in the country, isn't he?
Oh no, he is. But he doesn't like running them, but I think we're changing his mind and he's coming and having some fun.
Oh, mate, that sounds great. But let's just get back, just in case anybody has not turned Facebook on over the last few days and seen all these great pictures from this event. Just tell us a bit more about like the Robin Hood classic, the rear motor thing, and what went on this weekend.
Okay, so it was the second running of the RHR Classic. It's sort of a vintage meeting, but it's there's only a couple of rules. One is all the cars have to be two-wheel drive rear motor,
right?
And then within that, we have got two age classes. So we've got up to 1999, and then after 1999, and the cutoff really was the Lossy Triple X.
Okay.
Because the Triple X isn't vintage.
Is it not old enough?
No. So what we did is we used John's list from the revival.
Right.
So everything that was on the revival list was pre-99 is what we call it. And everything with a rear motor after is post-99. So B4s and 201 Durangos and stuff like that, or B5s.
Cougar SVRs, KRs.
I think we're going to get on to that.
Don't worry, Matt, we'll get back to you soon. So, second time you've run it, I think last time you ran in sort of August time, wasn't it, last year?
Yeah, it was end of the summer. Beautifully sunny. Not as many people. I think we had something like 70. I think the vintage guys didn't really know what it was.
Right.
But we ran it. It was brilliant fun. Have you run on the GT track?
For me, no.
Oh, you are missing out. Martin, have you run on it?
Yeah, I've run it. Well, I ran it as a dirt track at the Euros, and then at the Zoom meeting on the Friday, myself and Crompton were hammering around it with his B6 or something, and it's awesome to drive on.
With honeycombs, or were you in trouble from James?
With honeycombs.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you've got to try that track with yellow honeycombs in the dry. It's just amazing. It's not like carpet at all.
No, it was awesome to drive.
Yeah, yeah. That when they put that layout down, they just nailed it first time.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So maybe for some of our 13 listeners who aren't aware of what we're talking about now, let's just pull that in. So we're talking about one going to Robin Hood, in sort of like depending on where you are. If you're in London, the north of England. Anywhere else, the middle of England.
we are not in the Midlands.
Yeah, no, but If our American friends look at a map, it's clearly in the middle of that big island that they call England.
Yeah, fair enough. I like you.
So we always think about, we always think of like the people in Florida and what do they know? So it's at, we're at Robin Hood. Robin Hood's the battle, the venue of the Euros this year. That's on the Astro track. So this is the Euros track. Was it from 2015?
Yeah, that's right.
And they just never changed the track. And then one day somebody put some carpet over the top.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Well, actually, I wasn't racing. I was racing in 2015. The last national I did was 2015, but I had a bit of a break from racing and I came back and there was carpet on the track.
Oh, okay.
So that was awesome.
It's just like grey EOS carpet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mostly EOS and some of it is, I believe some of it is Tiger GT. You know, Leon's carpet?
Oh, right. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Not much of it, but most of it is EOS.
Okay. But the layout is so if Martin, when you were there for the Zoom, was that like the layout that was there when you did the Euros in 2015?
Yeah, it was exactly the same.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Silverstone or Donington. It is not going to change.
No. I love that. I've seen it. I've walked around it. I think I'll be planning to go there. I think the Robin Hood Oople round, whatever the end of the year will be, I think is on that track. And so I think there was two option tyres, whether there was wet and there was dry. What was going on there, Rob?
Yeah, so in the dry, we've got yellow honeycombs front and rear, mm-hmm. just because they're just perfection on that track. There's a little bit of slide, but there's grip and there's drive, so you can spin the wheels, and if you go offline you spin, but you know the grip's just perfect for the older cars. And then in the wet, we went for silver darts and silver cut staggers, so your standard wet tires. I mean, I know it'd be mezzo now, but we wrote the rules before all that got decided.
Yeah, before Martin got two free tickets to go to Mezzo Island in the Caribbean.
Well, yeah, and Simon Smith.
Oh, we can blame both of them now, can we?
Yeah.
that's good. They're two people I don't want to get on the wrong side of. So, was the format the same as last year? Was there any changes? You know, you talked about, did numbers go up? It seemed like it was a well-attended meeting this time.
Yeah, yeah. So last year, we ran the same format, except we ran a race of champions, which we just blatantly stole from John from the Revival again. Okay. So we took the top five from both classes and put them together. But to be fair, the meeting sort of overran a bit and no one really cared about the race of champions. So we dropped that. So it's just your standard sort of national. Well, I suppose not, because there's only one practice. One five-minute practice, four rounds, round by round, two to count, and a five-minute final.
Right, okay. And this was all done on the Sunday. I did see people there on the Saturday. Was it open?
Oh, practice? Yeah. Yeah. We were running round on Saturday from 9 o'clock. We practiced from 9 till 6 on Saturday.
Oh, brilliant.
Just open practice.
Okay, open practice, timing on. And you it seems like, I don't think me and Martin, we're not massive vintage fans, are we, boss?
I like my vintage, but I don't go race them. I have some, but I don't race them.
The joke I've got written down is if Martin, if it's not a Mugen Bulldog, he's not interested.
True, very true.
Wow, that is old.
Yeah, there you go. That's how old I am.
Yeah. He wasn't talking about the car, boss. He was talking about you. So it's kind of like, it sounds like a bit like a vintage meeting, but it sounds a bit more like race meeting than is that right? Can I say, is it more focused race meeting and less focused vintage? That'd be right.
Yeah, look, so the long and short of it is the whole point of the meeting is I wanted to run my Lossi Triple X.
Nice.
Which is a bit silly because I didn't this year. I just did the older class with my double X.
Well, okay.
But yeah, the whole point of it was when I got back into off-road after touring car, I was lucky enough to be on Lossy team. So I was running Triple X and Double X4, and I just love the Triple X. And, you know, you just couldn't run it anywhere. So we wanted to see Triple X's and B4s battling again, like it was.
That's kind of like when I started.
Oh, right, okay.
That was my era. I started with a B4.
Yeah, I mean, I was a touring car racer. I know that's not really allowed on here. But I did start with buggies, so I think that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah. I beg rule.
But yeah, back then, I mean, a B4 was 60 quid off eBay. And you made sure that it had got some shock oil in, and it just worked. And it was just like the ultimate club car, wasn't it?
Everyone had one. Were you back in the UK at this time, Martin?
Yeah, I had a B4. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, was it like blue springs, silver rears? Blue front, silver rear springs?
Oh, I hope you're not asking me. I'm a lossy man. I can't admit to having a B4, really.
Oh. that was the only option. I think when I turned up to the toy car track, someone said, hey, it's dead easy now. You just buy a B4. Only guys like Tom Pattinson, who still is a lossy fella, like with his double and triple X's. He was the only person who had one, I think. So the meeting's there, it's split into two classes, you know, yep. pre-99, you know, your triple X and onwards, let's just call it that, for yeah. the other walk. I also saw, there was like a concourse event. I saw like a big lineup. I actually saw a picture of my friend Dave Saville, who was there. But
all right.
There just seems to be a big long list of, were people judging those cars?
Ah, well. So, yes, the first year, I had a Concours prize made because we always have glasses for prizes.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, you can get home and celebrate your win. Last year, we had a Concours prize made, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of forgot to give it out until right at the end.
Right.
So I just decided on my own who should win, and it was Simon Kemp with some really weird RC10 thing. I don't really know much about RC10s. I had them as a kid, you know, as a kid, but I don't know a great deal about them. But it was just amazing. I don't know if you've ever seen Simon Kemp and PK there. The presentation of the cars is just ridiculous. So there was only one option last year. But this year, we had some pretty big names book into the meeting, some proper legends of RC.
Yeah.
And one of them was Jamie Booth.
Nice.
And I've raced with, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to buy my stuff from Jamie Booth and Dave Bailey and Carl Marsden. They sort of supplied all the kids at workshop with stuff. So to be able to go and race with Jamie is amazing. I still phone my dad and tell him I've been racing with Jamie Booth.
Lovely.
So I messaged Jamie. We get on quite well, and asked him if he'd judge the concourse. And so Jamie did it.
Okay. And then who won this year then?
So this year we had two. We had first and second. Second prize went to Nicky Goodall with his double X, which was amazing. So retro. I've got to say, I'm not very impressed that he beat me, but on the concourse, second's fine. First place again went to Simon Kemp. Now, Jamie didn't know Simon had won last year, so I think that's fair.
Yep.
I think it was an RC10. It was just amazing. You look at the pictures and it's just, his presentation's incredible. Oakley stickers and 90s neon paint jobs. You can't beat it.
It was like pink as well, wasn't it? Pink and white.
Yeah. It was an absolute beauty. You could, I mean, it didn't look like it had been run, but he was ragging it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I did see a picture of Nick Goodall's, which again was quite crazy. I do love the paint schemes back in those days. I didn't really race cars then, but I remember them. I suppose it's really good that Simon paints his cars that well, because it wouldn't look that good if my other mate here hadn't tried to pile him into a bush at Kidderminster the week before.
I have heard about that. Yeah. You didn't know it was him though, is that right?
No, I thought it was Aiden, and just like, and then I'm laughing and Aiden's like, I'm still driving.
Yeah, wasn't that PK though?
Yeah.
Straight into the bush.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, you've not lived if you've not been in a bush in Kidderminster.
Exactly. No.
All the good stuff happens in bushes in Kidderminster. So, I suppose before we do anything else, how did your event go? I know you just told us they got beat by Nick Goodall, but how did it start?
Well,
practice go okay?
Yeah, practice went okay. Practice started, I think, about 2 years ago. And I've not really stopped since. In fact, I think it's pretty well known that no one has done more laps around that track than me. I mean, I think I've done that many laps around that track, people think I run an X-ray.
Oh, dear. Oh, I think the Schumacher family are going to try and take that thing off them this year due to the amount of pre-national practice that's going to go on. So practice was good. You didn't really need it.
No, definitely not.
was it dry all day? Were you on honeycombs all day?
So the first round, because we run darts in the wet, although to be fair, I've not actually run in the wet there before. Maybe I'd done like a 2 or 3 minutes, but James Halliwell was the one who decided on the tyres because he's run there in the wet. But we all think that if we left silvers on in the dry, they'd be faster than the honeycombs.
Right.
So we had to make a decision in race control. And we said that round one would be silvers, because when we got there on Sunday morning, the track was frozen.
Right, okay.
I mean, literally frozen.
Okay. Robin Hood is cold in the morning, even in the middle of summer.
Yeah. Well, actually, on the Saturday, I was running round at 9 o'clock on honeycombs and it was fine, but there was quite a frost on Saturday night. So the pre-99 class, which was the bigger class, that ran first and we all ran on silvers. In the practice before round one, me and Jamie were the only ones in the top heat on yellows, and it was like Bambi on ice, that was pretty easy to work out what tyre we should have been on.
Yeah.
But by the time we got to the post-99 class, the decision had been made that it was dry enough for honeycombs. So round one of post-99 was on honeycombs.
Oh, okay.
And then the rest of the day was honeycombs. The weather was cold, but really kind to us.
And I think when these events are mentioned, or I've read some of the pages, okay, like things like really close racing, you know, those kind of things. Was that your view? I don't know how much modern running you've done, Rob, or whether you've just done your triple X. But
no, I did the regional the before. I actually entered a couple of nationals today, so I'm doing a bit of modern stuff. And I do works up an MB, but what was the question?
What's the difference? Is it more enjoyable? Should we be throwing our LD2s out? Should we be, loving our L1 Evos even more? Or should we just throw them all away and go back to running rear motor because it's just more fun?
No, you should keep your modern cars, but you should have a decent rear motor, two-wheel drive buggy, and you should run it because it's so much fun. Whether it's on Astro or grass or on at the GT track, they just drive correctly.
Drive correctly.
Have you, Yeah. Come at Robin Hood. I'm at the Robin Hood National. Yeah. Are you sticks or wheel?
I'm sticks, wheel. Like all old men. Martin's wheel.
Right, okay. So you'll drive my double X round that track. And you'll go, yes, you're right, that is correct.
I don't know. Quite like a forward motor car, you know.
No. Come on, Martin.
I agree with Rob.
when you're on the power with the rear motor and the back ends, you're steering the car with the power, yeah. And you go into a corner on full brakes.
Oversadvert.
Yes, that's what it is.
Long enough.
You just need to experience it. It's amazing. And you just come off the rostrum with a big smile on your face.
Well, I'm there in a... I'm not there for the Robin Hood National, but I am certainly there for the Euros warm-up.
You might not be allowed on that track at the Euros warm-up. You know how busy we're going to be, but maybe in an evening.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Be fine.
Yeah,
I'm only doing two-wheel drive. I've had plenty of time on the Friday. I don't need any practice around that Astro track. So you did well, and then of course the picture I see that's all over Facebook is clearly of the top three in the post 90. It looks like to me like the post 99 area. Yeah. And you know, can you get any three more world, local, and ex touring car legends as Matt Thompson, James Helliwell, and Neil Cragg as your podium?
I know, it was crazy. You know, the whole reason that I didn't run in post 99 was because I wanted to watch that final. And I thought, to be fair, I thought I'd probably be at the back of it somewhere. So I decided not to race so I could watch it. And then I got so distracted by going and fetching the trophies and getting the microphone ready and everything. I didn't even see it.
No, I know.
It was so when we were doing the prize giving, I was reading the top three out from each final. I got to the post 99 and I thought it was a misprint. Sorry, oh. Matt.
Sorry.
But from what I understand, I saw the start of the race and Ben made a mistake because Ben was absolutely flying all day.
Yeah.
Ben Jemison. But made a mistake and Neil just bolted and went. But he got caught up, I think, with a back marker towards the end of the race. And just, you know, let Matt slip past to glory.
Wow, yeah. Matt Thompson, MT, as we called him from his old Kyosho days.
Factory Matt
or... not factory Matt now, whatever you want to call it. If I mention a podium of James Helliwell at Robin Hood, Matt Thompson and Neil Cragg, you know, everyone's already got that order in their head. Everybody's already got that picture of Craggy in his old team associated coat.
Oh, that was like, so cool.
To wearing that red, white, and blue thing. But actually, Matt Thompson, as you said, Matt Thompson took the win. So he did have a really much newer car, didn't he? He did have a Cougar KR.
Matt Thompson edition.
A modern sport Matt Thompson edition, I think. There seemed to be a lot of help. Paul Kemp.
You need to ask him how much that car cost him.
I think I have an idea.
Yeah, they do not make that car anymore, but they do sell every individual part in a header card.
Yes. I was thinking, I think you're not, well, again, here's one of the reasons why we got you on, but I think what I have a problem with when I've tried to do vintage is the cars just aren't modern enough for me. They're just too far away.
Does that mean not strong enough for you?
Yeah, just not strong enough. You know, the parts are, you know, I'm worried about breaking them. You know, like, I got a Top Cat during lockdown. I ran it once and went, oh, that's terrible. Why would anyone ever want to run one of those?
But, you know, weren't they terrible back in the day as well?
Well, I didn't remember the. I remember like Phil Slay laughing at me when he saw me build it. I'm going, why is there a screw here and things like that? But so I got hold of myself. I got hold of a KR for sort of vintage rear motor 10.5 kind of classes. So it's nice to see Matt Thompson has gone all out for the win. Really, is that what we're saying? He's ruined the event.
You know, Matt. You know why we call him Factory Matt. He doesn't mess about.
No.
He ran a Triple X last year that I built for him, and he just, you know, he got. It was a bit lacking compared to the B5s and the. I think the Calans were running Yokomo YZ somethings with the motor out the back.
Oh, yeah.
And because that track's got some big jumps, there's an advantage to big bores, and there's an advantage to having a bit longer car than most of the vintage cars. So, you know, I think he basically said last year, after about halfway through round one, he'd found the maximum lap time. You know, the best lap time that car could do, and he just did it all day. And I'm not sure where he finished, but something like fifth maybe last year, mm-hmm. just driving his heart out. So I think he thought he'd give it a different go this year.
Yeah. Well, so I hear from my friend Tris that like if he wins again next year, we might then see a re-release of the Cougar KR Matt Thompson edition.
Well, that would be amazing, but I think that car's now retired.
What do you mean? He's not. Oh, that's. He's just. It's such a big event. He's just going to retire it.
Yeah, I mean, he beat Neil Craig.
Oh yeah, not many people do that, do they? No. Martin, you've never done that, have you, Martin?
Hell no.
No.
I've never even wanted to.
The closest I've got is getting in the way when he's laughing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'd even get in the way. I'd try and get in the way and he'd go around the other way. that sort of leads into the. It seems like a great event. There's so many great posts I've seen from people. From, you know, I saw a picture of my mate Dave Saville. I know James Hodson put a good post on Matt Thompson. I love the abuse people have given him on Facebook as well for doing that. You know, Craggy was there, Boothy was there. You know, so
and Ben Jemison as well, another big Ben, name.
Yeah, building the cars. I think he help with Neil's car.
He did. He did. And you know, when he went out in first practice, we all, you know, when Neil goes to the track, you go and watch, don't you?
Always.
Yeah. So we all went and watched the first practice. We thought, well, yeah, Ben's built him a car so he can beat him. But I think there was a lot of changes made, and eventually the B4 looked really good, but it did not look good first time out.
I'm going to say, did Ben's look really good first time out?
Oh, yeah, yeah. His B5, I think, is the one that he ran last year. It's that one with the, have you seen the body shell, the money body shell with the dollars
yeah, yeah.
on?
Yeah.
That's so cool. Oh, it's next level, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, mate, you're a superstar. You've dropped them in brilliantly. So, will we be seeing a Robin Hood Classic next year?
Yes. That was simple, wasn't it?
It's pretty simple. Are you? When I first saw the date, I was thinking that was more likely to be like a, maybe historically would have been like a Bradbury Cup date.
Yeah, yeah. So the Bradbury Cup's normally sort of around that time, maybe a little bit later. But the Classic is definitely not replacing the Bradbury Cup. In honesty, the reason that the Classic was this early was one, because Robin Hood's so busy this year.
Yeah.
And two, because thankfully I'm back to work this year, and it was sort of any time after this, I'm now too busy to do anything. So it was partially down to me, and it was partially down to just availability of using the place.
Okay, so will we see a different sort of month next year? Is it not going to be this early? Is it going to go back to August, September?
No, I don't think it'll go back that far. I'd quite like it to be the one that sort of starts the... I'm doing vintage and inverted commas because it's not really vintage, but
yeah,
all those guys who love their old cars but also race, it's for them.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see it as, if not the first one, one of the early ones, the really, really big vintage meetings is the revival that John does. And they're normally quite late in the year. And we don't want to be anywhere near them because we don't want to, you know, we don't want to step on his feet. We're doing a slightly different thing, but in a similar spirit.
Yeah, there'd be like the Venn diagram of people coming. There's some people in the middle, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think most of the people that had come to the Classic are people that also race other stuff. Whereas I think a lot of the people that go to the Revival only go to the Revival, and it's a super special event. Whereas this is just another race meeting, but it's also pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, mate. And then when you say you're busy, you would normally be busy, I'm going to just jump in and go, do you do something about with marquees?
Everyone thinks that I put marquees up for a living. And I wish I did. I wish I had a marquee company because I'd have a lot more money.
Okay.
But no, I run a small events business, and I put my own marquees up for myself, and occasionally at Robin Hood. And actually, I put one up at the Revival as well last year.
Ah, right, okay. Because that's sometimes when, like me, in the past, but not too far past, before the big shed, green shed was there, whenever there's a marquee, my mate Eric Everson would always say, that's Rob Fox, is that? That's Rob Fox's.
Most of the time it was. Sometimes, like the Euros, the 40-foot scrutineering tent was one of mine. Mm-hmm. The big tent I had up at an event, so unfortunately I couldn't help out there.
Okay, so are you helping with tents for the Euros warm up?
I'm not sure, actually.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure James has put his order in. Not that there's any money exchanged, but there's just I pay for everything that I do there is paid for in track time on the GT track, so I can finish fourth.
That's brilliant. So if we ever want a marquee for Southport for an event, you're not the person to call.
I'm what, in that wet field?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine, mate. Don't worry about it.
Global all the pegs come out.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, there used to be some sort of like football stadium or something like that under where that is. So a peg can't go more than like 8 inches in anyway.
You know, the last national that I did at Southport, this is how long ago it is, I pitted in the Schumacher blow-up tent.
Oh, we need that back. Martin, sort that out.
Why not? How am I going to sort that out?
Well, let's have me and Rob have decided that, and we've just spoken to Matt Thompson, that if we should have a blow-up BRCA tent.
Can we have a Matt Thompson?
Let's have a tent. Or just a big blow-up Matt Thompson.
I'd like to say, so Fraggy had got his old school Associated jacket on. But if you notice in the pictures, Matt had also got his old school Schumacher stuff on. Because when he was a touring car driver, he was Schumacher.
Yeah.
He'd got his old grey shoey hoodie on. So he went retro too.
Oh my God, he has. I just thought that was his bad choice of clothes.
No, that's his, for some reason he got joggers on. I don't think he was going jogging.
Yeah, he looks like Crompton at a race meeting, only wearing jogging pants and trainers. He does look really happy, Craggy.
The other thing I wanted to say, we've totally glossed over it because we just went straight to the post-99 class, but the pre-99 class was the big class, really. And, you know, I wanted to just say well done to the top three. I wasn't in it, but the top three were amazing. Nicky Goodall was absolutely flying all day. Jamie Booth, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And Chris Slater was third. And me and Chris used to race together when we first started at a little club on a Wednesday night. So it was a pleasure to see him there as well.
Yeah, I think that's one of the other big draws for these kind of events, isn't it? Just that time spent with, you know, people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just enjoying the time. You know, it's not a national. People want to win, but you know, it just looked like a great event. It, you know, there's just so much. You know, the colourful body shells, the time people had spent.
You could argue really good. The results. If you look at the results quite carefully, there was one person that didn't want to win.
What?
Well, that was me. Because I TQ'd all the rounds and then threw the final away immediately. Oh. To a surprise, it's a surprise to absolutely no one that knows me.
That's the kind of thing Fox does.
Yeah, absolutely. Eugene said he'd got money on it.
Yeah. So I saw, was Eugene doing race control?
Eugene was doing race control on the day. Steve Pierce sorted all the back end of the booking in.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich Simpson, who you probably don't know. He used to race. He was a good nationals driver in the 90s. I think he was in the B final at the Teesside Euros. He was a good driver. Okay. He did the commentary all day.
Oh, brilliant. And so next year, can we go bigger? Or do we just... Is the success just to do that again?
Yeah, I think so. I think we just do it again. I think if you go bigger, it'd have to be over 2 days.
Okay.
And do you really want to race over 2 days? Or do you want to just have a nice practice on Saturday? A relaxed evening, Saturday night, hopefully a bit warmer. Maybe a barbecue and then go racing Sunday.
Yeah, that's a pretty good thing. Some of my best days have been the Friday practices that Ooples did at Robin Hood. That was always a great day. I mean, you know, me and Martin, a kid him instead of Martin, abandoned me and I had to talk to Joss and Steve Curtis Rich. But, you know, that's just what we used to, kind of a big deal.
I abandoned you so Eugene could test all my equipment this weekend at Rob's meeting.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that is true. We used all the BRCA kit.
They were the RHR test men.
Classic. Yeah. I thought the test bed was the Schumacher test day where he was a secret guy that wasn't supposed to be there.
Oh, we can't talk about that.
Oh, brilliant, Rob. Mate, so what's your racing? So let's just say, as far as we are stood here today, you've ran, organised with Stephen and Eugene and Richard and all those guys and James.
And of course, James, don't forget James.
Yeah, James. Happy birthday, James. Was his birthday as well over the weekend?
Yeah, on Sunday. Yeah, we all sang him happy birthday. Hopefully there's no video of that.
I don't think so. But, you know, you can turn around and say, look, you've ran the best meeting in 2022.
So far.
Well, yeah, you know, we control the media. We can just say it's the best. There's going to be no other decent meetings all year, is there, Martin?
No comment.
No, mate. I think the Euros warm-up is going to look like it's going to be some good fun. But, you know, well done, mate. You can just see the positivity that's coming from the post. I think that was when, you know, we have our meeting regarding who we're going to try and speak to this week. It was either cause carnage and regarding EOS four-wheel drive finals.
I don't know anything about that, sorry.
That's okay, mate. Don't worry. You've saved
yourself.
We were
a bit busy.
Yeah, you were. The rest of the RC world were maybe focused somewhere in Göttingen in Germany. We'll sort that out in a bit. But, mate, you look like a great meeting. You know, everyone seemed to enjoy it. We look forward to seeing it again next year. I think what I will try and do is send my KR to Matt Thompson to get it all Matt Thompson'd up. And then we will sort it out. Of course, Martin, do you know who else attended this meeting?
Go on.
Well, somebody, you know, who's on another UK podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How did he get on? How did Russ Lee get on?
Didn't he smash it to pieces most of the time?
I believe so. I believe he only finished one round, according to his Facebook post. So, guys, due to times, so let's do that. Oh, and here's the other thing about, that's what reminded me about Russ Lee. Before we say goodbye to Rob, guys, I'm sure you might not have caught up with last week's Grid Talk podcast, but very early on, Russ makes a terrible error. And I don't like picking on other people, but it's Russ, so let's go on. So you guys have all been racing a long time. So there's a question to both of you. What Russ Lee said incorrectly was that Dave Crompton, you know, eighth UK legend, was the only British driver to get in an IFMAR Worlds A final in eighth.
Oh.
Okay. Can you think of any, and I obviously, I immediately, you know, jumped to 2012 there in Argentina. Guys, do you know which Brit made the IFMAR A final in 2012 Argentina?
If I had to guess,
mm-hmm.
was it, I don't know, was Elliot not in it?
No, Elliot broke a servo in the bump up or whatever they call it, the semi final.
I think, did he TQ?
TQ and he broke.
He broke.
I'm pretty sure Neil Craig made the A.
No, he didn't.
I don't know then.
Lee Martin.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Lee Martin, 2012. I was
Lee who?
Lee who? Stop making private jokes on the podcast. I was rewatching it because I think we're going to get somebody on who did quite well in that meeting. So we were just rewatching the thing. But Rob, mate, thanks for all the stuff you've done. Before we let you go, would you like to thank any friends, sponsors, people who've been nice to you, other suppliers of marquees?
I don't have any sponsors anymore. So none of them. But just to the people who were involved in the classic and involved last year and this year. So a massive, massive thanks to Steve Pierce, who you need to have on a podcast because he does a lot behind the scenes. Eugene Galley, again, a legend. Have you ever noticed that Eugene Galley's hair never changes colour?
Are you suggesting Eugene Galley dyes his hair?
I'm saying it.
Oh my God. It's a weird colour to pick to dye it.
I think he's figured out time travel because he's never aged.
Yeah, that's probably
exactly. I'd go with... Yeah. So other than Eugene and his hair, James Halliwell, obviously. And then, again, you guys won't really know him, but Rich Simpson, who just talked absolute rubbish all day, and it was amazing.
Sounds like a guest.
And of course, and all the people who came, the amount of messages that I've had saying thank you for running the meeting, not down to me at all. It's as always at all toy car clubs, it's a team effort, isn't it? But I'm happy to take credit. It was just brilliant to see everyone enjoying themselves and with a big smile on their face. There was a guy there called Dan Reed, who I don't think has been racing a long time or he's had a very big break. And on Saturday night, he practiced all day Saturday. Then Saturday night, he crashed a wedding. I'm told that he didn't get back to his hotel till 4 a.m. He turned up just before round four of qualifying.
Nice.
We convinced him to do the qualifying so he could do a final. He broke his front bulkhead on his double X in the qualifier, qualified in the last final, and managed to get a trophy. And
winner.
That's what I call a performance.
Mate, that is exactly what we're looking for in a toy car event. Mate, Rob, it's been brilliant. Thanks very much for your time, and we will catch up with you soon. Cheers, mate. Bye now.
Cheers. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was great speaking to Rob Fox and hearing all about his RHR Classic. It was also great last week to speak to Dave and Matt from Durham County. A lot of great feedback from there when people who weren't aware what was going on in Durham County checking the Facebook page out, something along those lines, and seeing all that work, mate. What do you want to do? I think it's best to do, we'll chat about our weekends, and then at the very end, people, maybe we'll have a brief chat about four-wheel drive EOS. So, Martin, what did you do this weekend?
I went and raced at Mendip.
More trucks?
Yeah, just running the track round, just trying a few things, and getting ready for the Track National there at the end of the month.
Really, mate? What's the weather like? It was dry and
sunny,
cold.
It was dry. Yeah, it was dry and sunny. It was cold in the morning, warm in the middle of the day, and cold in the evening afternoon.
And you took the lad with you as well?
Yeah, I took the boy decided he wants to start racing again after 4 years, and he actually did all right. He didn't break anything, so that's a start.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he started the day very slow but steady in like six laps, and I think by the end of the meeting he was on like 11 laps, so quite a quick improvement. But he always, and I don't know if other people with you, I mean, he's 13. I think he always got bored at race meetings, because when you think about it, it's a lot of waiting around, not actually doing much. To be fair to Mendip, they pack a lot of racing into the day. They do three rounds of qualifying and three leg finals for all. And you kind of keep going all day, so you don't have a chance to get bored. So I think he really enjoyed it. They're racing at Tiverton this Sunday. I'm going to take him to that, and we'll see how he gets on with that. Nice. They're more of a traditional format of four rounds of quali and a final, which I like. So yeah, we'll see how he gets on with that. But yeah, it was nice. I mean, if he gets into it, great. If he doesn't, great. Either way, it's a win-win.
So if you were running track, was this the first round of the Mendip Summer Series?
It was, yeah.
Okay, so if you were running truck,
yeah,
who won?
What, truck or two-wheel or four-wheel?
Well, I'm guessing you run truck. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, so who won two-wheel drive?
Two-wheel drive. Now you got me thinking. I got to think, yeah.
I've got prep here. I've got stuff. Where's your
I know. I just... two-wheel drive was a good question. I can't remember. Do you know what? I can't remember. That's how much attention I've been. It wasn't Keith Halsey.
Okay.
Because he crashed a lot. He should have won, but he crashed.
What about my best friend, Dale Calder?
Dale didn't win. Dale didn't win. Joss made the A there. That was quite cool. Okay.
No, well done, Joss.
He made an A in a bit of a stacked field. But who actually won? I can't remember. It was like 2 days ago, and I've worked and slept and
other things.
Millions of questions from Callum Mitchell at 8 o'clock on a Monday morning of how do F gradings work, which is the best question at 8 o'clock on a Monday morning before work, you know.
I always say one of those questions, just phone me. Find out when you got 10 minutes. I'm not typing all that out.
Oh, no. He was just, I mean, it was a good question. He was just asking how the F gradings work at nationals to regionals, and which is, you know, if you get an F3 at a regional and, sorry, an F2 at a regional and F3 at a national. And I had to explain, nationals only give out two gradings, F1, F2N. Other than that, doing nationals, you get no grading. So I just had to, just point that out to him.
Yeah,
which is fine.
I think that's one of those things. You know, as we get back into nationals, as we get back into regionals, these questions will come up from people who haven't done it or haven't done it for a while.
Of course they will.
And this is probably actually then a good point to go through. I do remember
who won, Martin Hadley.
Well done. Well done. Well done. Well, also well done, Martin, for winning. Okay, mate, well done. Have you got... I'm just trying to think. So are you going to Tiverton next week?
Yeah, Tiverton on Sunday.
Tiverton
on Sunday to run four-wheel drive.
Tiverton on Sunday to run four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
And then national the week after.
The following weekend, yeah.
Lovely. Easter weekend. Brilliant, mate.
Yeah.
Okay. Being like the Europe's top podcaster, mate, I've got some notes. So I'm going to go with, I think I mentioned at the beginning that at Southport we did, I'm going to literally talk about this before we talk about any US stuff. So at Southport we did have a track day. I think if you check out the Southport Facebook page, there was loads of people there. We had an absolute great laugh. We had a great time. It's really handy when there's like 15 people turn up to do track work. It's easy to move Astro, all of those things. Yes, there are pictures of Paul Crompton doing work. Okay. It's true. He did work his little socks off. We sent him from McDonald's, which he thought was a bit of a skive, but we knew there was a fun run going on around Southport, so it took him like an hour just to go anywhere. And then one of the points, check the Southport post to see the people over there, but what I'm going to say was Pete Kirk was there and Mrs. Pete Kirk, and it was their 60th wedding anniversary last week. And when you see the quick video I've done, he sat on the floor, a man who's, I don't know how old he is, but his 60th wedding anniversary was last week. Peyton the fence. So if you come to Southport this week, this year, and say, hey, this fence is good, that's the bit Pete painted. And if you look at the fence and it's a bit brown and a bit green, that's the bit I painted. So we enjoyed it. We had a great day. We got some practice in, Dave and Andy and Paul were looking at tracks and options and things along those like brilliant. We have, we're not totally finished by the for the national, but we've got 95% of our big jobs done. We've just got a bit of paint and a bit of tidying up, which we'll obviously do the week before when we're closed. But that was important. I would like to say, Southport's calendar's out. I'd like to point out that I think next week there is a video. Michael Olowski is doing a video chat with Tony Sport. So check that out. I think that's going to be in English and German. Please check that out. Love to do that. I'm just trying to think what else I've got. All of those... there was a great video. We shared this on the Extra Lap page. Mark Hedling, who's actually been on the Grid Talk podcast a few times in the last month, he's done a build of a Will Speed RF LD2 version. Really good build video. Yep. I don't think we've got enough people in the UK doing build videos or any kind of content, but if you're interested, go and look at that and see if you can do better than that. What other pictures I've got? Apparently, Ty Tesman's luggage has gone missing.
Oops.
So he's waiting for this luggage to turn up. We've already talked about Matt Thompson's, the Thompson Edition Cougar KR. Model Sport. We talked about the Kemps last week, this week. I think they've also stepped up as part of the Model Sport thing to sponsor the Euros warm-up and the Euros event.
Yep.
So I'm sure we'll see more coverage from them. Some of my favourite RC races in the UK have been picked up by the Hobby Ring Factory team.
So we
should say congratulations to Ben Smith, Luke Holdsworth, and Josh Holdsworth. Also, like an on-road fella, but not funny. We're not going to talk about him. But I think that's really good, for all races in the UK. Hobby Ring is super popular with all the brands of cars. So if you've got any questions, you can speak to Ben, Simon Smith, Josh, Luke, Eddie, anything along those kinds, and you're going to get some. We're going to get some top hit. Hopefully, we get some big hobby wing hats. That would be great. We started off talking about at some point. I think talking about regionals, and I think Rob Fox was talking about that. And we've got our regional rep, the best regional rep, Stu Jones, has told us everyone in the Northwest, and I think he spoke to you beforehand that he's with his change of jobs and things along those. He's going to be the regional rep for like this year, but we're looking for a new Northwest regional rep. But we have got some people who are interested. But if you are interested, you know, maybe we don't just need one regional rep. If we want some people to come and help us run the regionals, please speak to Stu Jones if you want to get involved in doing that. Maybe you don't want to get involved so much in a club or a committee, but you'd just like to give a bit back to your Northwest. Speak to Stu Jones. Speak to me. Speak to Eddie Holdsworth, Rick Dewhurst, someone like that, and we can talk to you about roles and things that we might need in for the Northwest regionals this year. That's probably it, except for, do you know who the fastest person in RC is, Martin?
I can't remember her name, but she won 20 grand.
She won 20 grand. Samantha Joe.
That's it, Yeah, we're all in the wrong side of the hobby. 20 grand for going in a straight line.
Going in a straight line, you know. I if you want to find out more about the King of Streets Vegas, I know the TSR Speed podcast has got Samantha on, and they'll be talking about all that stuff. So if you're into no prep drag racing, you just want to hear what it is in that big sort of $20,000 cash prize, listen to the TSR podcast this week. Right. That's not it, Martin. Did you watch any RC racing on YouTube this week, mate?
I might watch some EOS finals.
Did you watch some EOS finals, mate?
I did.
How do you want to deal with this?
Wow.
Shall I give you my idea?
Go on.
First of all, what we'd say is thanks very much. Will Whitefoot's on. Guys, if you haven't seen the four-wheel drive EOS A finals, leg 1, 2, and 3, there is a novel, a film could be made about those three A finals. And the people involved are either one, Schumacher family people, or two, quite young. So I thought, instead of us getting into trouble, Martin, right? I saw Tyler Jones, techno, old Schumacher family guy from America.
He
mentioned a little thing on Facebook when the incident in leg two, where I'm going to say it looks like Marcus Kurup has come off that. Shouldn't have those things on tracks. That like sort of ski jump thing lands, goes around the corner, goes a bit wide. To me, Aiden's view, Michael's looking to make a move, taps him. Marcus rolls over the track marker, and then I don't know what to say, mate. I don't know whether he drives into everybody as they come round that corner, or he's trying to get round or something, but he makes contact with the first two cars. You know, that did not look good. But I think Tyler Jones put on Facebook, and I'm reading it now, he said Kurup left the door open. Orlowski had every right to shoot for that. It's the end of the race. Passes have to be made where you can, but you can't cut the track. And that's like from one of the fastest guys in the US at this moment in time. So I thought, Martin, wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be like journalism if I reached out to other 10th drivers, pros, and asked them what they thought?
Okay.
Wouldn't that be good?
Maybe.
So that's what I did.
Okay.
And I've managed to turn it into a game for you, Martin.
Excellent.
Okay, so what we're talking about now is the incident in the EOS second leg A final four-wheel drive. So I spoke to Neil Craig, Lee Martin, Elliot Boots, and Bruno Coelho. They were literally the first four names off the top of my head.
Pretty big names.
Pretty big names. First of all, first question I asked them was, and I'm sure Bruno's English is good enough to understand these. First thing I said was, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, what do you think?
Yeah.
And three, can I quote you? Okay.
Right. Okay.
So I've got, and then I had some conversations regarding the things. They went on a bit long with some people. But anyway, so what I've got four quotes or parts of quotes from Neil Craig, Lee Martin, Elliot Boots, and Bruno Coelho. I'm going to read out bits of these.
Okay.
And you can guess who it was.
All right.
Okay. I think that's the best way of doing this.
Yeah, kind of great. Legends.
If Lee, Neil, Elliot, or Bruno didn't fully understand what I asked, sorry,
here
comes stuff. Right, let's get over this bit.
All right.
Okay, so the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, mate. Yeah, I've seen it. Basically, Michael was a bit naughty. Although it happens when you're racing at that speed, and the kid lost his head for a second and was rightly penalised. Ended up being the right result in the end. I suppose the kid drove well.
Lee Martin.
Okay, we'll do all four. Okay, otherwise we'll spoil it. Okay.
Yeah.
Who said? I don't actually mind too much about the hit. It's the fact that he cut the track. Lol.
Elliot Boots.
Okay. Yeah, that was completely wrong what he did. Bolalowski is to blame for taking him out and not waiting.
Neil Craig.
And the last one.
Yeah.
Hi there. Well, I watched. I was crucified in the past to fight for win.
Bruno Coelho.
Being a little aggressive, but I did always wait and respected the others when I did make mistakes. Coming down and saying sorry about it. What I have watched here was a young kid over-motivated.
Yep.
Okay. So, last one, Bruno Coelho. No surprise. That was correct.
Yeah.
The next to last one. Yeah, that was wrong. What he did completely. Who was that, did you say?
Is that the third one from the end?
Yeah, third one from the end.
Neil Craig.
Okay, that was actually Elliot Boots.
Okay.
The second from the end, I don't mind too much about the hit. It's the fact he cut the track. Lol.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Yeah, I said Elliot.
But that's actually Lee. And that takes us back to the first one of Michael was a bit naughty, although it happens when you're racing.
Yeah.
That was Neil. So, first of all, I thought it was interesting for us fans that, one, they'd all seen it. I did send them a link, but they'd all seen it. And Elliot is in the race. One, they'd all seen it, and they all replied, and I think they all understood that I was going to read it out. So rather than us getting into trouble, blame them. What I will say is I really enjoyed the coverage. I think Jonas Karup, his dad, could be my new hero, because that's a load of passion to see, you know, and we can't wait for round two of the EOS to see how that matchup is redone. That's going to be the most exciting.
You can call it passion. I'd call it something else, but there we go. It's a different opinion.
Look like passion for me.
Yeah.
Okay, mate. Sorry, before we go, one thing I did do before my track work on Sunday is I went to Northwest Nitro to see...
Yeah, I saw a picture of you giving Ashley Patterson something.
Yes. The great work that the Grid Talk podcast did for raising some money for Tom Yardy. We sorted out some cactus, but then there was no cactus in stock.
Yeah.
So I had to get some cactus. And I know Ashley was going to Blackpool, so it was nice and easy to get up there first and thing. So I spoke to Ashley. I spoke to my friend Scott Walker, the northern one, not the southern one. I spoke to Tyler and Davey Little, who were there. And I bumped into my great friend, Nick Butler. who was the greatest collection of J Concepts and Schumacher bags I've ever seen. So it was great to catch up with Mick. Oh, do you know who else I saw? Mike Lewis and his mum and dad. And I know that they regretted their hotel choice in Blackpool. Okay? So if you're looking to stay at Northwest Night Show, I'd probably ask the Skidmores where they stayed. They stayed what sounds like a lovely place, whereas the Lewises, they weren't too happy. But that's just probably done now, mate. Before we go, would you like to thank your sponsors?
Yeah. I would like to thank all the guys at Schumacher, John Finch at RC Octane, Brian Preddy at Scoos for RC, and Richie at RDT, which reminds me I need to order some stickers tonight. That's just reminded me.
If Richie listens to this, or anyone knows Richie, can you make sure we have some? If Martin asks for name stickers, you don't send him name stickers. Just put Emperor of Everything.
I don't do just name stickers.
Don't you do them?
No.
Okay.
Not my cup of tea.
Not your cup of tea. I suppose not. Okay, guys, please like and share this. Oh, sorry, we do it the other way. Thanks, Rob, for coming on and chatting about your great weekend that you help organise at Robin Hood. Thanks very much to Dave and Matt and all the people at Durham County who were on the week before. Please like and share this podcast. Please like and share all of the podcasts. We've had some real good stuff being said and being done these over the last few weeks. Please check them out. And another quick, I do think we need a bit more UK-based content. So if you're interested in doing something like that, if you want to do YouTube or videos, then speak to someone else who's done something like that, Mark Hedling, James Crockart. If you're interested in doing podcasts or anything along those lines, speak to me, speak to Russ, you know, the people who do the work on UK podcasts. And we will see you all soon, mate. Okay, cheers, boss. Yep. Bye now.
Sounds good. Cheers, bye-bye.
Never missed you, Joey. Not once.
Who?